At first glance, Mary and Joseph were insignificant nobodies from nowhere. And yet, as so often happens in life, they were not who they seemed to be. Joseph and Mary were about to become parents of the most significant figure in all of human history. They appeared to be helpless pawns in the movements of secular history, and yet their every move was directed by a sovereign God, the sovereign God of the universe. The baby Mary carried was not a Caesar, a man who claimed to be God, but God who became man. We're familiar with the haunting simplicity of Luke's story of Christ's birth. Luke writes, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son." There was sweat and pain and blood and cries as Mary gave birth. Trembling human hands gripped God's son, slippery with blood. The baby's limbs waved helplessly, his face grimacing as he gasped at the cold, his cry piercing the dark, silent night. No child born that day seemed to have lower prospects. The Son of God was born into the world not as a prince, but as a pauper. There was nothing about the circumstances of his birth save for the angel's message to a lowly group of shepherds that would reveal his true identity. He came not to mighty Rome, but to Bethlehem, of all places. Born not to royalty, but to two young peasants who had very little to offer, but a willingness to cooperate with the work of God. Surprising? Very. We must not forget that this is where the Christian faith began and where it always begins. It begins with a sense of need. It begins with one's insufficiency. Christ, you see, comes to the needy, to those who are poor in spirit. The story moves quickly as Christ's birth is announced. The first to hear, well, not the high and mighty, but lowly shepherds on a hillside. Shepherds were not held in high esteem in that day. They were regarded in much the same way that gypsies have been regarded in more recent times. In fact, the only ones lower than shepherds at that particular time were lepers. God wants us to get this straight. He comes to the lowly. He comes to those who sense their need. He comes not to the self-sufficient. He comes not to the self-righteous. Christmas is for those who need Jesus. That would be people like you and me, wouldn't it? People who know that they need a Savior. The angel said that the good news was for all people, that there lying in the manger was the Savior of the world. Listen to the angel's words again. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. And then suddenly, this great company of angels appeared, the greatest choir this world has ever known, stretching, at least in my imagination, from horizon to horizon, lighting the sky with their brilliance, lifting their voices in this magnificent choir. How we would all have liked to have been on that first Christmas night, hearing what the shepherds heard. And then just like that, the angels step back into heaven, drawing the curtains behind them, and the glory that lit the countryside faded, and the shepherds were alone in wide-eyed wonder. They look at each other, and then they do the only thing that they can think of. They run, not just run, but they race to Bethlehem. And at last they found Mary and Joseph and the baby kneeling in awe. They worship him. A Savior has been born. He lies there so meekly, cradled in the most unexpected of places, coming to us in the most surprising way. He is Christ the Lord, the second person of the Trinity. Don't lose sight of that. Yet he has placed himself at the mercy of two mortals who must now care for him and provide for him and raise him. Thus it was in that lowly town of Bethlehem on that one silent night. And so it is for us. In the stillness of this night, he comes to us waiting to be received and worshiped as the Savior of our lives. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into our world and for placing yourself at our mercy in your birth so that we might find mercy in your death. We thank you for the gift of your presence in our world, for the light that pierces its darkness, and for our birth in you on that Christmas night. Your love for us is unfathomable, and we worship you, Holy Child. And we embrace you with all of our hearts. Amen. In the beginning, John testified that the one who would come after him was the true light that gives the light of life to everyone who received it. Later, Jesus came and he declared, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."